Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear. Cause the truth will be too much.
Welcome back into the program. This is my last hour of hosting the program this week. Siren Petrol will be back tomorrow live at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Store. They've got the golf simulator going. We're going to have contests there. So go by the Bushnell Factory Outlet Store. Great Father's Day gifts and always fun and games with their golf simulator. It's very cool. Siren is on his way back, we think. Probably driving 56 miles per hour. It's 75 through Kansas, so he's probably going 76. Yes.
He's right on the double nickel, man.
Right on it. He's they call it hypermiling. That's how you do really well on the gas, hypermiling. What you need to know is the college football playoff could be expanding in a couple years. We talked about that last hour with Blair Kirkhoff, talking about going to 12 teams with four byes and, you know, one of the group of four, group of five getting in. So this is exciting news. It'll be a couple years before it happens, but we could know by the end of the summer if that's going to end up happening. The Royals play tonight against the A's. More from Mike Matheny here in a little bit. They're on a five-game losing streak, which is not very cool. The Chiefs had their final OTAs this week. They're going to have mandatory minicamp next week. Kyle Long, the newly acquired guard who set out all of last year, hurt his leg yesterday in practice. People thought it was a foot, then they thought it was a broken kneecap. Sounds like he's got a knee injury. Andy Reid gave us a little update on it.
Kyle hurt his knee. And we'll just see how he does here. It doesn't look like it's ligaments, but we'll see.
Any idea how long he'll be out? Any idea exactly what the injury is?
Yeah, they're going to look at it and determine it. Chance he has to have surgery on it, but we'll see where it's at.
Chance he has to have surgery, which sounds to me like he's going to have surgery.
It does. I would be surprised if he were. Now, what is surgery?
Yeah, it's just scope or something, you know. They really don't think this sound like something that's going to say he can't play football or something.
No.
He's an older guy who's had some injuries before. It's not good news when you have to have surgery on your knee.
Nope.
But
especially when you're a person with injury history.
June, and they don't play football for real until September. So that's the latest on Kyle Long. They had nice participation at these OTAs, and that's not the case everywhere around. So Andy was asked today why his team has a little higher level a participation than some of the others.
Yeah, just our leaders. I mean, that's who I attribute it to. You know, we have leaders on both sides of the ball and guys that like to get better, you know, and work together. So, you know, we try to be smart with it as coaches.
I think when you do have leaders who are saying we're doing this, that's an important thing, especially during this. And I think that happens with teams that are very good.
Yes.
But aren't satisfied.
Right. And that's, you just described the 2021 Chiefs perfectly.
And
very good and not satisfied.
The 20s last year, too. I mean, that's where they are. Right. They want to be great. They want to have longevity. They want to win multiple Super Bowls. And they feel the way to do that is to be a part of this. Now, not everyone was there. There's some people who have been a little hurt, a little sick, a little whatever. I mean, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is in Canada, you know, working as a doctor. Andy did say he would be back next week for the mandatory minicamps. You can't just float freely back and forth, so he's going to be down here for that because it's mandatory. And, you know, we'll hopefully get a chance to talk to him next week. Another hot topic running around the NFL the past, you know, what, year, 6 months particularly, is about vaccinations. We've seen some players say that they don't want to answer it or they're not going to get vaccines, whatever. No one was directly asked today. I did ask Willie Gay just kind of about the information the Chiefs had given you. He volunteered that he was getting vaccinated because he wants to make sure he can not wear a mask, see people,
just
go about his kind
about
of
football.
His normal life. But Reed says they brought in experts and they want to educate their players on this.
So what the league gives us and the medical, you know, the medical part of the league gives us, we share with the players, and then we always leave it open for them to ask questions. We have people they can come in and talk to about it, you know, if they have questions on it. That's the way we've handled it, you know. So we've had good participation with it.
And there's some thresholds for teams with participation levels in the vaccine, that, you know, about masks and stuff. And I haven't seen anyone walk up to a podium and pull a mask off.
Right.
I haven't seen anyone in any of the video we've gotten to see wearing a mask. So we don't know exactly who and what. There's a big debate and a fight on whether you should ask anyone or not, or if it's anyone's business, whatever. It seems to me like the Chiefs have been higher level than some other teams about this, because just from what we've seen as we watch these things.
What information is still out there that needs to be learned by these players?
Yes, people are dubious of information sometimes, though.
To me, if a player is saying, I want to get more information, that guy's not getting a vaccine.
Perhaps.
And they're kicking the answer down the road, so to speak.
And or they've gotten bad information or haven't paid attention. Listen, there's too much information out there sometimes.
There ain't that much information about it that really is that important.
Depends on where you look, Curtis. It's an interesting world out there.
There's some of that, too. Are you looking for facts or are you looking for reasons not to get the vaccine?
Some people feel like not all facts are created the same, Curtis. I'm just saying. That's where it is.
There are people who think that.
There are. And some of them can play football, too.
A lot of them can play football.
They can do whatever they want to do. So that's where we stand right now with the Chiefs on that front. Okay, the Royals on that front are not doing well. Okay, it hasn't gone well. They're on a 5-game losing streak. They lost the last two to Minnesota. They were not competitive out in Anaheim. Now they're in Oakland against a very good team tonight. We will see how they fare there. Last night, you know, this is an interesting bite from Mike Matheny talking about how the margin is very thin for this offense, but they don't particularly they're not handling it very well right now.
First and in the fourth, they left money on the table. And it affects this team. There's no question about it. We talk a lot about the importance. You know, you just don't want to leave money on the table when they're giving you opportunities. Second, it has a carryover effect on this team, maybe as much as any team I've ever been around. When we don't capitalize on those opportunities, it deflates. And that's something that we don't necessarily want to be true, but it is. And so just, I think, increases the importance of our situational hitting. We get guys in scoring position. We've got to figure out ways to put pressure on the defense and take what they're giving us. But, you know, I've got the guy out there with some swing and miss sliders. It's a lot easier said than done, but I know this group can get it done.
Early this year, they were a get up off the mat and fight through some games. And he said it there. There's a carryover effect with this team throughout a game.
Yeah.
And it looks like from game to game now.
Yeah. And as he said, which was the startling admission, more than any team he's ever managed before. And he's not a first year, you know, a second or third year guy. He's been doing this for a decade.
We've seen some ups and downs this year with this team that way.
Yes. Now, I guess the flip side from a positive standpoint could be that when things are going well, those carry over more than any.
It seems to have done that.
Which might explain why the fact that they've had 2 5-game winning streaks and 2 5-game losing streaks, and we're not to the middle of June yet.
Well, the offense is just pitiful right now. And, you know, the A's are a very good pitching team. So.
And they are pressing.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see how it goes. 4 games in Oakland before they get to come back home. Sporting KC will be back in action this weekend. They're playing against Austin FC. Austin FC, who's that? It's a new team. Well, we've probably heard about them before because Matt Beisler, the captain from Sporting KC, is down there now. This will be their last road game. Austin has a new stadium opening, so they've had to play every game on the road so far this year. And it's kind of caught up to them. They haven't scored a goal since the last time they played Sporting, and Sporting won that game. But Matt Beisler's back, and obviously Peter Vermes is going to answer this probably every time they play Matt Beisler for a while.
Matt is obviously a player that was, you know, very important to this club for a long time, and but even the first match it was a match, and so is this. This is us trying to get points, and I know they're trying to get points, so it's a game. At the end of the day, it's a game, and players got to sock it out on the field at the end of the day.
Should be fun to see Beisler back in. It probably won't be nearly as emotional this time. Last time when he showed up, it was like, you know, he'd never been in the other visiting locker room and kind of all those things. But Sporting is playing well right now. So I expect them to win this game. It's the only game in the league this weekend because they're still kind of on this international break because of the things that are happening around. You know, USA played against Mexico last weekend. So hopefully Sporting will get a win here and keep it going as far as that goes. When we're going to take a break, come back and talk to Jeff Passan about he's got a great big long story about substances on baseballs and stuff like that. And this is the topic right now in the league.
Yep. And one of the things, obviously, spider attack and Garrett Cole's comments and the Mets first baseman.
Non-denial, whatever that was from Garrett Cole. I don't think I want to talk to you today about that.
No, and the Mets' first baseman, Pete Alonso, said he's not bothered by pitchers using substances on the mound.
I don't care what they use. I mean, for me, I use pine tar when I go to hit. I have a lizard skin. I have batting gloves. Like, I have the most advantage when it comes to holding on my bat. So I wouldn't care, because on our on-deck bag, we have pine tar rag, a pine tar stick, like a special sticky spray, rosin. I mean, you name it, we have it. I mean, I wouldn't care if they had that behind the mound to help hold on to the ball, because when we start getting into these hotter months, guys start to sweat. And let's say if they lose a fastball arm side, I mean, we all saw what happened to Kevin Pillar, and that's scary. And we're lucky that he only had a broken nose. And I mean, it could be a lot worse depending on where it hits a guy. I mean, 100 mile an hour fastball, even though you're wearing a helmet, that's scary. So I'd rather have guys have as much stick as possible and focus on throwing the ball in the box as opposed to taking it away from them.
That's a fine attitude. I don't think that's probably the case with every hitter who are sick of seeing these spin rates go crazy.
I would imagine that Pete Alonso got some texts from some batters around the league that he knows going, dude, really?
Are you kidding me? We don't all hit home runs like you, okay? Yeah, right. We need all the help we can get. We'll see, but Passan at ESPN.com has a very lengthy story with tons of details about what is happening with Major League Baseball. They'll middle of the year try to start actually policing this thing. We've already seen an incident where they
finally, because
now people, it's a thing. People are talking about it. So that's the way Major League Baseball does it.
Up in arms about it.
Yeah, it's if the Royals pitchers are doing something, it's not working. I don't know. Is that bad?
Maybe someone should sneak.
What are their spin rates right now on this?
Spider tack into the Royals.
Spin rates aren't going great. You still have to throw strikes, right? That's for sure. But most people think the spin rate has to do with the breaking pitches, but it's big on the fastballs too. Mm-hmm. So it's something to look at. But there has been cheating forever in baseball.
Yeah.
Forever.
And this is
spitters and sunscreen and Vaseline and. Boddicker tell the story. They would, want someone to scuff the ball. You throw to third baseman. He does it. He throws it back to you. It's probably harder now because they don't use a baseball for as long. You know, baseball used to maybe be in play for an inning, two outs, three outs, something like that. Every freaking baseball, anything happens to, they throw it out, put a sticker on it, and sell it.
Yeah.
It's different,
It's amazing.
Those guys, sometimes back in the day, you'd sit there, like Mike Scott used to get accused of scuffing the ball. I think he was doing it. He was freaking unbelievable that 1 year. But
86, yeah.
You throw the ball first. Give me that back. Don't. Come on.
That's a good ball.
I like that ball.
That's my ball.
Don't you be letting that one go. You'd be ticked off. Get it from the ball boy down there.
Into that baseball?
I've been fixing that one up, getting after it. So that'll be a topic with Passan. And I promise we're not going to crush the Royals for 20 minutes with him. Unless you guys want to.
No. I want you to talk Mondesi with him. I want you to scream at him.
Mm.
Like the text message I sent.
I'm not going to scream at Jeff Passan. I don't think. Maybe I will. Find out next on the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
You know, when you're running with Chubbs and Hunt, everybody, the Browns fans are all, that's what we do.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Husband, father, Elmo impersonator?
Yeah!
He wrote The Arm and is currently writing its follow-up, The Leg. He has everyone's phone number, even yours. He's MLB insider Jeff Passan of ESPN. Only on The Program.
Jeff Passan of ESPN is brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at the Legends Auto Plaza on the southeast corner of 435 and Parallel, or online at victorymotorskc.com, where our first price is better than their last.
Welcome back into the program. Todd Lebo in for Soren Petro. Only two segments left for me. You got Petro all day tomorrow. Live from the Bushnell Factory Outlet Store. Should be a lot of fun. Live right now with us is Jeff Passan from ESPN. He's we call you baseball expert. Are you the lead baseball writer for ESPN.com? How does it work? What do you like to call yourself, Jeff?
I like to call myself man about town.
Yes.
I'm not going to call myself lead anything because we have plenty of very talented, good people at ESPN.
We love them all.
We are all a team, and I just want to be part of the crew.
You like to keep the line moving, don't you, Jeff?
I've always found that to be an obnoxious statement, but hey, the Royals won in 2015 with it, so I'm not going to hate on it too much.
It's going the wrong way right now. We'll get into the Royals in a second. I wanted to ask you a little bit of a kind of professional what you've gotten to do recently. You got to do one of on-field reporting for the Royals game a couple of weeks ago, and you're the one who got Mondesi hurt. So we'll get into that maybe. Now we're not going to yell at you about Mondesi, but tell me about that experience. You've done that a few times. Did you like that? Is it fun for you to do that?
It's very cool. It's a little scary because the camera well down the first baseline is much closer to home plate than you recognize. And as much as I try to stay in shape, I am 40, and my quick twitch muscles are not what they once were. So you have to pay attention to every single pitch because there is no net down there. And if a ball comes screaming off a bat at 100 miles per hour, you better get the hell out of the way, or this face that could use a little work already is going to need a lot more.
Yeah, it can be a little bit rough for sure down there. You could just say, can I go back behind the net? Because they do have the net all the way down now.
The view is so good, though. Like, it's so, the view that I got, I hate bringing this up, the view that I got on the play that got Mondesi hurt, it's unbelievable how athletic guys are and the kinds of things that they can do in a matter of milliseconds. And that play was brilliant. It wasn't worth it in the end, but right. it was phenomenal to see that up close and personal. I mean, I was, probably 10, 15 feet away from the first base bag, and seeing how quickly he got that ball, gathered it, threw it, it gives you a greater appreciation for what these guys are capable of.
Yeah, proximity changes your opinion on a lot of things. I remember the first time I was ever on the sideline of an NFL game, which you mm-hmm. can't really get down there anymore because it's for safety reasons, which I'm happy for, right? But I was working for Channel 4 at the time, and you didn't have a seat in the press box, so you go stood on the sideline. That's what you did. And it was like, oh, dude, this is too much for me. This was a little bit close. You see why these people get hurt down there? Because if you're not paying attention, and sometimes you can still be paying attention and you can get run over. I appreciate the safety factor down there now that they don't have them do that. Or I remember, I went to Indy 500 the first time I went, and you watch these cars go 220 miles an hour on TV.
It's ridiculous.
When you're right,
it's ridiculous.
Right,
like,
there.
Like car racing in person is the craziest thing that I've ever seen, like, up close. When you're down on the infield on those tracks, I actually went in a pace car. The first race I covered was at Bristol Motor Speedway, which is like a tiny, crazy sprint track. And the thing that gets people, I think, when they walk into a racetrack for the first time is how high the banks are.
Yes.
Like if you're trying to walk up the bank of a racetrack, like, you got to grind. It's like 20%. On a treadmill, and it's crazy how fast they can go on something like the physics of it are unbelievable.
The first year that we had the American Royal Barbecue was at the Speedway. I didn't realize there was a tram that would take you around to where our tent was, so mm-hmm. we walked through the main gate and went down the center part, like the flattest that
yeah,
track gets,
still got a
and
grade.
That is steep. I can't even imagine the banks.
Yeah, when you watch these cars go whizzing by when you're, like, on the infield of a track, especially not even up in the 50th row. You're on the infield, you're like, holy smokes. And it's like that. It's fun. Anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed that. Hopefully you get to do more of those things as it goes along. And since you mentioned the Royals a little bit there, I brought it up, I guess. Five in a row. Offense is pitiful right now. If they score a run, that's what kind of all you can expect. What sort of hopes do you have for the Royals to pull out of this weekend? They're playing Oakland. That's a very good baseball team.
Yeah, it's a troublesome time for them right now. And the frustrating part for the Royals is that they're going through the same thing that they went through in the 11-game losing streak. And they're just prone to these spells of bad baseball that good teams simply don't go through. Like, a team that loses 11 games in a row, honestly, I don't feel like can be a great team. There's just, typically if you have a great team or even a good team, there's too much talent there to allow something like that to happen. And the good part for the Royals is they know that they've gone through something like this before and come out of it okay. But This is just a team. I've been saying it all year on the show. This is a team that's going to go up, going to go down, and by the end of the year, it's going to be 75, 76, 77, 78 wins, somewhere in there. A step forward, certainly, but not the leap that you necessarily were hoping for.
Well, last night after the game, Mike Matheny was talking about how there seems to be a carryover from inning to inning and really game to game with the team offensively when things aren't going well. That can't be a good sign either. There were times earlier this year where they were able to get up off the mat and battle. I mean, even opening day, gosh, they give up all the runs in the first inning, and they've done that a few times. But when they get in these streaks, it gets in their head, and that's not a good thing.
No. You know what, though? Like, the issue right now is just a matter of depth. You look at the lineup, and especially the top, and when you're going Merrifield, Santana, Benintendi, Perez, like, that's a very good top four, you know, guys who are all around 750 OPSs or better, but then it just falls off a cliff. And I know Soler's been better lately, and he's hitting the ball harder, and that's good. But Soler, Dozier, I don't think long-term Kelvin Gutierrez is the answer or a long-term fixture at third base. Michael Taylor's, you know, been inconsistent this year. And then you look at Nicky Lopez at the bottom of the lineup, and you just say to yourself, God, if Mondesi were in this lineup, it would look so much better than it does right now. And that's the frustrating part of him. You know, he goes on the injured list, and it's just like, when, if ever, is it going to stop? Because you dream of what these Royals can look like, and when the dream is sunshine and rainbows, Adalberto Mondesi is right in the middle of it. But if you can't be on the field, then you can have all the talent in the world, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and it, you know, maybe the next kid is Bobby Witt Jr. down there. He's 20 years old. Be 21 next week. It's still Double A baseball. But it's
now. Can I tell you something? Actually,
yeah.
I heard a very interesting comparison this week, and I don't know if you've noticed this. I mean, we're checking box scores, and Witt has his OPS up to like 850 plus right now, and that's where it should be, especially after the terrible start that he had. It's great to see that. Do you see who's leading that team and among the leaders in the entire minor leagues right now in OPS?
Who's that?
That would be Nick Prado.
Yeah, well, he had a three-homer game and a two-homer game. It's been a project for him, but he's getting there, huh?
Yeah, no, well, he's not just getting there. He's there. He's a guy. And the comp that got thrown on him earlier this week, and this is an awfully lofty one, so you know, your mileage may vary. Anthony Rizzo.
Nice.
Wow.
And it, you know, I saw that and I was like, or I heard that and I was like, really? Anthony Rizzo has incredible plate discipline and is just so consistent, or has been so consistent throughout his prime as a bat. And I went and looked at Nick Prado, and I don't know what the numbers are right now, but 2 days ago, he had 26 walks and 28 strikeouts. And that is what Anthony Rizzo has done his whole career. He's been almost even in his walk-to-strikeout ratio. And in this era, if you can hit for power and draw walks and hit for some average, you are a dude and a half. And, you know, I think the idea of Jorge Soler either being traded at the deadline or walking this offseason – and Carlos Santana shifting over to DH, and Nick Prado, who, by the way, also has a very good glove at first base, being the first baseman for the Kansas City Royals, maybe not on opening day, but by May 1st, 2022, is an extremely realistic thing.
Well, it's been a slow development for him because he struggled early. Now, last year he didn't get to play, right? He didn't have minor league baseball, so it was just alternate site stuff. That's good news, because one of the things we complain about with Dayton Moore and the Royals is they've had these kind of hot spells with draft picks, and then they had some really low spells, and Prado was looking like part of one of those low spells. But if he turns out to be a player, then he's 22 years old. I mean, that's kind of time to get up here and get this thing done. Maybe they'll be on a little bit of a hot streak with those early picks. But they've got some good things going with some of those guys in the minor leagues, which was a concern for a lot of people because there was no development last year, right? I mean, you didn't get to have games last year for these minor leaguers.
Here's the thing. Last year, because remember, Nick, it wasn't just Nick Prado. It was Nick Prado. It was MJ Melendez. In 2019, those guys stunk. And Prado had a couple of, like, solid but unspectacular years. You know, his first year, just a handful of games at the lowest levels. His first full year was decent, but, you know, didn't set the roof on fire or anything. At the alternate site last year, I had a source tell me that Nick Prado looked better than Bobby Witt Jr. And that he led the team in home runs. Now, you don't know who he's facing at the alt site. You don't know the situation in the games. You know, there's so many factors that could be different than actual gameplay that you got to take it with a grain of salt. But it seemed like he had figured something out last year, and I was really looking forward to seeing what he did this year. And so far, at least, he has exceeded expectations.
Yeah, OPS of almost 1,200 right now, batting 320 with 10 home runs. Very good news there for Nick Prado. All right, let's move on for the Royals. We have Jeff Passan from ESPN.com on the phone right now. And we've had a lot of talk about the tacky substance, spider tack, all the different things. And you've written a very long, lengthy story about what's happening with Major League Baseball with this. I suggest all our readers take some time out and go read this story because it's got tons of details about what is happening right now. From the, you know, 30,000-foot view, what is your takeaway from the research you've done and kind of where this should go? We know Major League Baseball is working on cracking down on people, but is this something that should be stopped or could be stopped?
It should be, yes. Can it be? I think for the most part, yes. And let's go backward here. For a long time, cheating has been part of baseball, and especially with pitchers. There's a reason that spitballs are outlawed and have been outlawed for more than 100 years now. This is nothing new. But what's happened over the last, you know, decade or so is there's a Danish company called TrackMan. And TrackMan is a radar-based system that pretty much tells pitchers everything about the balls that they're throwing, not just the velocity, but the revolutions per minute. And, you know, there was research done in Japan 15 or so years ago where they had an 88-mile-an-hour fastball spinning at 2,400 RPMs and an 88-mile-an-hour fastball spinning at 1,800 RPMs. And the one spinning at 2,400 stayed a full ball length above the one spinning at 1,800 when it went into the catcher's mitt. That's significant that two pitches that are traveling at the same velocity end up in different places. And pitchers recognize that. And they also recognize very quickly that if you get a tacky substance on your fingers when you're throwing the ball, it creates more friction. And the friction is one of the one of the biggest things when it comes to the spin rate on a baseball. So, you know, it started off as, hey, let's mix some sunscreen and rosin, and that gets the ball a little tacky, and it's great. And then they realized, well, if this works, then what if we go with something even tackier? And that's when you ended up seeing them, you know, with Pelican Grip and eventually Spider Tack, which is one of the tackiest substances on Earth. It's made up of rosin and, you know, industrial polymers, and it works. And when Major League Baseball, Todd, didn't crack down on the use of substances, players felt emboldened. And they took this thing as far as the league was going to allow them to take it. And this year particularly, more and more guys have used those higher-grade substances. And I think it's a big reason why the offense is as paltry as it is in baseball these days, because guys are spinning their fastballs faster than they ever have before. But even more than that, they're spinning their breaking balls to the point where you see pitches that are doing things in the air unlike anything we've ever seen before. And I'm not saying that, you know, getting rid of foreign substances, which is what Major League Baseball is trying to do now, is going to be a panacea, that we're going to go back to the steroid era. But the notion of a 10-point jump in batting average if players do, in fact, lay off foreign substances is not far-fetched by any means.
Didn't the timing of Major League Baseball finally having a problem with this seem a little fishy?
Expand on that if you would.
I think they've been okay. They haven't really cared much about it, and now all of a sudden, I mean, in recent years, it's, well, the game is, there's not enough offense. There's the batting average is hitting 230. Suddenly they decide, let's start putting an end to this. Let's start standing up for this substance we don't like.
Curtis, I'm not going to sit here and be on Major League Baseball's side because I feel like they turned a blind eye to this for too long when everybody inside of the sport knew what was happening. But I will say, and this is not a rhetorical question, if you see something that is having a deep and negative impact on your sport, when is the right time, if not now?
So, I mean, it's the timing doesn't matter. At least they're doing something.
It's basically just gotten there now. It's time to step up and do something.
Yeah,
why didn't they stop it five years ago?
They should have. You're right. They should have. And I think their answer to that is that they were listening to players, and that for a long time this narrative that really germinated from pitchers was that we need tacky stuff to have better control of the baseball so we don't hurt anyone. And I think there's actually, listen, I think there's something to that idea. You just don't need something that strong men are using to hold 300-pound Atlas stones. Like, there's a point at which it gets too tacky. And what Major League Baseball should be doing right now is developing a substance that it says is okay for use, something that is maybe along the lines of the sunscreen and rosin or in that vicinity, but certainly is not like spider tack or pelican stick.
We played a clip from Pete Alonso in the last segment, him saying, if a guy's throwing 99 and he's fingers or whatever, he misses arm side, that's where you get the Kevin Pillar situation. He'd rather pitchers have that stuff so they can have better control. See, I have enough substances I can use. The pitcher should have the same thing. What do you think of that?
I think that there's some merit to that, but I think he's understating what these substances that some pitchers are using do to the baseball. And that, health of players is of paramount importance, but there's also the fact that baseball right now is boring, that when you have the paucity of balls in play that you do and the extreme number of strikeouts, that you need to look at the game itself and say, where are we now and how is this appealing to fans out there and how do we find that happy medium where player safety clearly is a priority, but the game also is something that people want to watch. And, right. We all have our teams that we're going to watch regardless because there are teams. But as you're watching baseball right now, there are times, and I think Royals fans can attest to this, there are times you look at the game and how it's being played and say to yourself, what am I doing watching this? Like, this is just not fun. And that happens too often, I think, these days. And really is unfortunate because I would argue, and I think pretty convincingly, that the quality of players, especially star players, in 2021, the quality of what they can do is better than anything we've ever seen before. I think if you take a player from the 1950s, a star pitcher from the 50s, and put him today, he would get shellacked. It's just a different game right now, and it's a better game in terms of individual performance, but writ large, it's problematic. And, when you're trying to invite young fans to watch baseball and their first reaction is, God, this is boring, that's not good for the long-term or the short-term stability of the sport.
Yeah, it's not for sure. And, Pete Alonso hit 53 home runs a couple years ago. Some guys who can barely hit 10 home runs say, no, I don't want them putting anything on the ball. I mean, he's
right.
Pretty good player. It's a different deal. Jeff Passan from ESPN is our guest. We're talking about an article he's written about spider tack and all this stuff that's happening with pitching. I remember the first time hearing about some of these players complaining. Now everyone can complain just on Twitter, right? I mean, Trevor Bauer started bringing this stuff up. And there's something going on because he was kind of, throwing shade at his former college teammate, who was Garrett Cole at the time, was pitching for Houston. Houston was doing all the cheating, right? Sign stealing,
yes.
Spider tack, all the stuff, right? And so people are sick of that. What's the backstory there with those two guys? Are they, they're friendly. I mean, they were teammates. I mean, Trevor Bauer doesn't seem to have friends. He's just Trevor Bauer, which I love, right?
Trevor has friends. Him and Garrett were just always oil and water, though. I mean, Garrett was like Captain America. He's the archetypal pitcher that you want. 6'4", 225 pounds, strong, huge fastball, great breaking stuff. you know, natural talent. Trevor was a guy who, you know, had to grind for a lot of what he became. And I'm not going to say he was more cerebral than Garrett, because I don't think he is. But on the baseball side, he really educated himself and turned himself into a pretty incredible pitcher. And they just never got along well. And Trevor was really the first outspoken player, and maybe the only outspoken player, on what was happening. And, you know, was saying early on, if you see a 200 RPM jump, that's not natural. Because I've done experiments trying to figure out how to gain spin on my pitches. And really the only way to do it is with foreign substances. And then, of course, all of a sudden, Trevor Bauer's RPMs go through the roof, and you put two and two together. You got a guy who's saying the only way to juice your RPMs is by using sticky stuff. Well, you know, he went out and used sticky stuff and won a Cy Young with it. And you can sit here and understand the argument that he might make, which is, if I'm not doing it, you know, somebody else is. I'm going to be taking money out of my pocket. I'm going to be taking wins off the ledger for my team. So I'm just doing this to keep up. But that's also the same thing that people who use steroids were saying. And I'm not equating the two things, but there are a frightening number of parallels between what's happened with sticky stuff and what's happened with steroids in baseball's past.
Well, and health-wise, the sticky stuff's not going to hurt you. Steroids could, and steroids were actually illegal, like, to possess.
Right.
So there's a little different stuff there. How concerned should we be that, by your article, maybe 80% of the pitchers, 90%? I mean, nobody knows exactly what, that the Royals have four good young pitchers who don't seem to either be able to use it right or get anything out of it. I don't
just
know.
Just like the steroid era, the Royals get
why
no,
are they not doing this right?
No benefit.
You know, I have not done a deep dive into the spin rate of the Royals, so I have no idea if they have any, like, clear offenders here. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that they haven't been using. You would think it's logical that they're actually going to look better, or the players who are clean are going to look better compared to their peers, because theoretically there should be no regression in their performance. It's almost like it behooves right now the teams that have been clean. And I like that there's this line of demarcation in baseball right now. Right around June 3rd is, you know, when we learn that baseball is going to be cracking down on foreign substances. And I will be very curious 2 months down the road to compare the numbers offensively and the numbers pitching-wise, and see if there is a marked difference between the two, considering that you would think, if they're threatening suspensions, that if not all of the players, certainly a lot of them are going to say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to hurt my team. I don't want to have that scarlet S for spin on me, and so I'm going to stop doing this and figure out how to pitch the way that I did before I used this stuff.
Jeff Passan is our guest. Time for our final four. Jeff, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. You brought up Mondesi before. The Royals have about 100 games left. They played 60. They got 102 games left. He's played 7. How many games will Adalberto Mondesi play this year for the Royals?
Now, didn't we do this like 2 weeks ago and I've lost already?
You never know. Come on. We got to keep going, because then things have happened. I'm giving you a chance for a reprieve.
Yeah, I'm a positive and optimistic guy, so I'm going to say 90.
Wow. That is very positive and optimistic. You're wrong on that.
I don't want to be inconsistent, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, because this show is hosted by the Debbie's of Downer.
He's listening right now, driving back from Colorado. You'll get yours next week, okay? That's what's going to happen. All right, so through your stories, anonymous, whatever, you don't have to name a name here, give me a best way to cheat. You had some of the stuff in there on the – you know, who puts the stuff on the ball, where you keep it. What was the most interesting thing that you learned with the where people are hiding or keeping their spider tech?
This was not in the story, but a pitcher told me that he once kept pine tar in his groin and not outside the uniform, that he would reach down his pants in the middle of the game and make it look like he was adjusting himself when really he was going to get pine tar.
Tough shower after the game, huh? Just keep that on there?
It's going to be a little sticky. you hope that they've got good soap in the showers at the clubhouse.
George Brett's bat, 1983. tough shower. Okay, I know we've talked Wu-Tang before. What's your go-to Wu-Tang song?
Triumph. I know the entire first verse and have been known to bust it out. But I mean, anytime you can start a song with "I bomb atomically, Socrates' philosophies and hypotheses, can't define how I be dropping these mockeries, lyrically perform armed robbery, flee with the lottery, possibly they spotted me." It doesn't get any better than that.
Jed was with you for about 5 seconds there, and then he lost it. He was close. Did you have the whole thing, Jed?
I know the next lyrics, too.
He's got it all. Go, Jed, go.
We're up against the clock, but it's something like Battlestar Shogun, exposure when my Ben hits tremendous.
Ultraviolet, shine blind, forensic, science-based. through the future, see millennium, killer be sold, 50 gold, 60 platinum.
Passon and I are way better than the Wu-Tang Clan.
Old dirty bastards, both of you. All right, and
I mean, I would be part of the Jew-Tang Clan. I don't know about you.
It's a different group, right? It's a different group. It's got a little different feel to it. And finally, it's National Iced Tea Day. Are you a sweet tea guy, an unsweet guy, or a no tea guy?
I'm a no tea guy. I just can't oblige, and it just tastes like crap. I wish I liked tea because I know. Like, especially unsweetened tea, like, I know there are health benefits to it. I've tried. I just can't do it.
So where do you get your caffeine? Your coffee man all day long?
Diet Mountain Dew, baby.
Oh, the Diet Dew. Now, we have finally gotten to the bottom of it right here. Diet Dew with Jeff Passon. Very good. Hey, man.
You know who I'm going to blame for that? For the longest time, I was a Coke Zero guy, and then I walk into Bristol, Connecticut, for my first in-studio Baseball Tonight show. And I'm so excited because this is the show that I watched as a kid, and I'm actually going to be on it. And sitting in the green room in a lounge chair with a can of Diet Mountain Dew in his hand is Tim Kirchin. And I've come to find out that this mild-mannered, sweet, wonderful human being is the biggest Diet Mountain addict on the planet.
He's fueled by Diet Mountain Dew. Excellent.
And he has a story, statistical analysis story about how he, about Diet Mountain Dew, probably.
Probably
the history
so.
Of Diet Mountain Dew.
Hey, thanks for the time, Passon. We'll talk to you soon. Petra will be back next week to yell at you.
That's a shame. See you, boys.
The program with Soren Petro.
He is not a journalist in the normal sense of the word. He's a columnist, and he's a person who dispenses opinion.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, a good sense into the hour answer. How many Tennessee Volunteers have the Chief drafted in the first round? 3. Eric Berry, Dale Carter, and birthday boy Anthony Hancock.
Anthony Hancock. Great player. No,
oh, yeah.
Not really. He was fine. Not as good as the other two.
No.
He would be third on that list.
Yes.
All right, for the kicker tonight, we've got a young man had a very good week.
Luke Williams made headlines. He helped Team USA qualify for the Olympics on Saturday, got called up on Monday, got his first hit Tuesday, and last night his first home run. Here's how it sounded with Scott Sfransky on WIP Radio on the call.
The 0-1 pitch. Swung on. Line left field. Pretty deep. Going back. Ready. He looks up. It is gone! It's a walk-off home run! The first homer in the career of Luke Williams! An amazing moment in an amazing week in the life of Luke Williams in his second major league game. He has won it with a walk-off home run, the first of his career, and the Phillies have beaten the Braves 2-1.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Olympic qualifier on Saturday, first major league hit on Tuesday, first homer last night, a walk-off winner for the Phillies.
Pretty good. Thanks so much, guys, for the help this week. Filling in for Soren, he'll be back tomorrow at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Store. They've got the golf simulator up. They have contest prizes, everything. It's Father's Day shopping. Go get that done. The old men, and I mean this now, are up next because I just went back to fill out, you know, throw my water out and wash it up. Coffee's brewing. Crunch time is here. It's 6 o'clock and a coffee is on. Frank and Tim are up next with Crunch Time. Have a lot of fun with that. Thanks again, guys, for helping me out, getting through this week. Petro will be back tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully the Royals can find a way to get a win in the next 4 games. out in Oakland.
Before you host again.
Yeah, please. We'll be back at some point. Crunch Time is next here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, then NBA action after that.